Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, welcome everybody. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Truth straight up.
That's right. Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. Happy day after Easter. Hope everybody had a great holiday weekend. We did.
Yeah, had a great time.
Did the traditional eat too much. And then it was nice enough we could play a little bit of golf. So it was just a little. Well, Rev played a lot. We played a little. Hey, coming up at 3:30, we're going to have an Adams County Republican friend of ours, Carl Hoops, come on. He was elected at the CD8 assembly over the weekend to be on the Trump slate as a delegate from Colorado. So we'll be talking to him about all kinds of stuff, but wanted to start off with Denver. Now, you remember in Denver, they don't call them illegal immigrants anymore.
We have newcomers.
They're newcomers. And I did not realize this, but among the billions and billions, not billions, but millions and millions of dollars that Denver is spending, they have created a newcomer liaison position for the city.
Excellent.
Because we need a newcomer. Now, if we could just stop the illegal immigrants from coming, then we wouldn't need that. But that's
well, not. We're a welcoming city.
We're not so welcoming anymore. Not as welcoming. We no longer heart, being my Taylor Swift here, Denver no longer hearts illegal immigrants. In fact, they're shipping them out as quickly as they can. Credit where credit's due. Channel 9, I think, was the first one to get this video. We're going to play some video of the newcomer liaison explaining to this busload of illegal immigrants that arrived last week in Denver that they had to move on.
Just listening, it's in Spanish.
I'll read it.
Julie, we'll interpret it for you.
That's right. Summers, if we could.
With our great Spanish.
We could please play the newcomers go away video.
It's Andres Carrera, political director for Denver Mayor Mike Johnston.
Nueva York te da más, Chicago te da más. Entonces sugiero que vaya por allá, donde hasta también con una verde de más largo plazo, también hay más oportunidades de trabajo por allá.
Carrera is Denver's so-called newcomer communications liaison. That means that he meets the busloads of new arrivals. The city says this group got here on March 26, sent up by Texas's Republican Governor Greg Abbott. He warns them the jobs, the resources, the opportunities have already gone to the 40,000 migrants who came to Denver before them. Parents listen quietly as children play on the floor. As Denver tells these families that have sometimes walked from one continent to another, that they just have to keep moving. But they don't have to walk. Denver will buy them a bus ticket.
Perfect.
I mean, it's long.
The
welcoming city will meet you at the bus stop, you illegal immigrants, and we do not hurt you anymore. You have to keep going on the bus. So look at the numerous hypocrisy things going on there. Number one, they're highly critical of the governor of Texas.
Yes, yeah,
for shipping him here. But they're quickly turning around and shipping him elsewhere.
The double shift is okay.
You can see the mayor of Chicago and New York. Wait a minute. What are you doing, Denver? But it's insane. There was a thing in the paper just today. I'm the only one who reads the paper anymore, but it says the city of Denver, in part because, so we're closing rec centers
every other week.
We're closing Department of Motor Vehicles every other week. We are no longer planting flowers at the city park.
Yeah.
The only place they're going to be planting flowers this year is at the Civic Center Park. That's right in front of the state capitol, or the city and county building. Wash Park, City Park, all of the great, gorgeous parks in Denver, just going to have mounds of dirt and weeds this year. Because I'm assuming if you don't have people to plant, you probably don't have people to weed. or to take care of the dirt. So there you go, Denver. If it's not, I don't know if you guys have seen, we drive by there all the time at 8th and Navajo, right? If you're getting on 8th Avenue to get onto I-25, it's a massive illegal immigrant homeless tent city I wonder, are the homeless people then the old comers?
They're the old guard.
They're the old guard. The OGs.
OGs.
They're the OGs. I mean, it's like Denver is destroying itself, right?
But it's wonderful.
No flowers. They can't. I mean, everything looks trash. I mean, I'm sorry, but it does. It looks trashy in Denver now. The buildings downtown, they're calling them zombie buildings. I read another article today. Once again, you're always right. Periodically, I'm right. It was, they were talking about, I mean, there's been all this talk about, okay, so we're going to take like all these empty downtown towering office buildings in Denver, and we're going to turn them into
newcomer buildings.
But I'm like, Well, there's no bathroom. I mean, most offices, well, yeah.
They don't have showers or anything.
But can you imagine? In most hallways, it's like the executives get to sit by the windows, and then the minions are all in the middle, right?
Yeah.
And this article was saying that, they might be able to convert like two or three of the really older ones, but they're like, no, for the most part, converting an empty downtown office building.
That's a lot of money.
Well, they said it's impossible, even from what
nothing's impossible. Where there's a will, there's a way.
They're saying the way the floors are built in office buildings, they can't even.
Sure,
yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I could just let them put their tents in there.
Yeah. In the hallways.
Yeah, in the hallways.
At least it's heated.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, I mean, it's just Denver's destroying itself. And I don't know whether they. And actually, I was going to say, I don't know whether they just didn't anticipate how bad this is going to get.
But I think they just don't care. They care about people, so they want to be welcoming.
Well, they want to get them registered to vote. I think before they want, here's your ballot. Just give us your ballot. I mean, because these are people who could help the Democrats redistrict if they could just distribute them a little better.
Sure.
Which is why it is so important. I hope the Weld County commissioners are listening, except for Lori Sane, that the suburbs and the suburban counties say, no, you can't bring them here, because the Democrats would be happy to ship them to counties and cities that are Republican strongholds now, so they can redistrict everything. But it is like, that's hilarious. And that the mayor's office has not responded to them. But you could hear that guy. Now, what do you do if they are like, no, we're not going to leave. We're going to sit here.
Well,
right?
Good. Get on the sidewalk. Goodbye.
Go.
There's no shelter here.
Hang the Navajo.
Pick up, good luck.
More squeegee stuff.
Yeah. How you guys do your squeegee skills?
That's right. You can bet your bottom that it's not just Denver paying for these illegal invaders. We all are. I'm so freaking angry. It's a good point, Sandra, that Denver doesn't print its own money. We give them the money. My understanding is the illegal invaders that are living in the Denver motel, there have been an uptake in shootings. Again, I'm effing angry. Well, and it's not just the illegal invaders. It is also the homeless people. They've had hundreds and hundreds of calls for service at some of the three hotels. I think there have been 7 shootings, 3 murders. I mean, these places, if you're a homeless person, I'm sorry, it's probably safer for you out on the street than it is, because they're blaming this Good Samaritans or whatever, we're not taking proper care of it. But it's like they fill this place with drug dealers, criminals, and then they're surprised when there's crime, right? There's no security.
You're just a racist diatribe against people who walked half a continent to get here.
These are just regular drug addict homeless from Denver.
Well, that's a different story.
That's right.
You don't have to be welcoming to them. We got to shelter them. We got to get them services. We got to let them play golf. But
right. But you're absolutely right, Sandra. The police, I think, are swamped by this kind of stuff. And the
newcomers will soon be suing the police.
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah, the newcomers. If I'm a newcomer lawyer, I'm going to head on down there and say, hey, you guys got a lawsuit. This brings you here, sends you here, and now you're not being protected. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So that'll cost us even more text hours.
No, that's just basic justice.
And then Leo, I'm sure there will be no friends of the mayor or city council will get the new bid to we'll get the new bids to convert the buildings. Exactly. Sandra said if they walked all the way here, they would be skeletons. Democrat BS again. Oh, they aren't walking here. They're being shipped up here with so-called nonprofits, charitable organizations, right? That send them here. Then they get to Texas or wherever, they come in and then they ship them to Denver. And now Denver is paying them to give up. The bus companies must be in on this too, because the charter companies are making a million, right?
Sure.
But if you're the bus driver, you better pack your
lunch. Well, if you're going to give them go anywhere. I mean, that's just Greyhound. I mean, you say, no, I want to go to Schenectady. Go, here you go. Schenectady, here you go.
Well, we've heard about the buying plane tickets, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Every so often you'll see somebody will tweet a picture of them. I'm on a plane. I'm sitting next to this group of people who came here illegally. And so they have no ID, no nothing, right? You have to go through all the security in the universe to get in, but they don't have to go through any of that. And they had all this free vouchers, free stuff, free phones, you name it. It's just crazy. But anyway, Denver's destroying itself. So now they're trying to say, you can't come here, right? And we're going to ship you.
Come here.
We'll just ship you someplace else.
No. They're not blocking
you. They're not blocking
you. If you want to come and you know, live on the streets, you can live on the streets with the other people.
Yeah. And then Sandra, absolutely agree, Julie, the buses are in on it also. Oh, you know that there are tons of people making tons of money off of this situation. That's another reason why it goes on.
The gardeners aren't. Flower people aren't.
No. Well, those are city employees. So screw them.
No,
right?
They always have a contract. That's actually manual labor. They don't do city employees do not do manual labor. Please.
When I was at Fox, though, he did a story on the city gardens because this was awful. This is an aside. Somebody kept, you know, some of the early spring plantings are, and I forget the name of the plant, but they're really cool. And like birds of paradise, things like that, right? And people are stealing them. So this
not in Denver.
Yeah.
Not in Denver.
So they were planting them and then they go there and the next morning all the plants would be gone. And they were like, but they were actually city employees who did the planting because they were annoyed at it.
No, they did the removing.
yeah, really. So anyway, that's the latest with the newcomers. You'll be glad to hear that.
And they're coming, more will be coming in it's just going to get better and better.
Leo says it's cheaper to fly to Mexico and walk over the river than it is to buy a new phone and Nikes. Yeah, exactly. Well, and we should go. If we want to go to Chicago, we should just show up at one of those shelters and say, hola.
Yeah, hola.
I have no papers. And see if we can get a free trip. So that's a deal. The other thing I wanted to talk about today, the White House received a ton of backlash over the president declaring yesterday or celebrating or proclaiming it a transgender day of visibility. Now, my thing is, what is the most freaking visible group in the universe these days?
Rachel Levine was out there as the Surgeon General. And boy, where's our good friend, the guy who stole all the furniture? Boy, they let him go, unfortunately.
You mean the luggage?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Well, but I mean, to me, it's ridiculous that they need a transgender day of visibility.
Oh,
it's like, you know, maybe they should have like a white guy day of visibility.
Yeah, visibility.
You don't get one, right? But anyway, so they proclaimed this and it did not go over well, as you can imagine. I think hardcore conservatives, and I have a lot of theories on what I think they were doing that I'll get to in a second. But what is interesting is how the White House is trying to walk it back. They're trying to point out that this transgender day of visibility, it's kind of like ice cream day or something like that. Somebody made it up like 13 years ago. And no one ever paid any attention. Barack Obama was president. Byron York did some research for the first like 8 years of this. He never mentioned it. No proclamation, no anything. And even one of those days fell on Easter too. But I think a lot of people received it for exactly what it was. And it's just an insult at Christians.
Sure.
But the White House.
No. Joe Biden is a fervent Catholic.
That's right.
Observant Catholic. He goes to church all the time and he is Mr. Catholic.
Exactly. And so a lot of people were understandably offended and particularly because it was just such a obvious insult. So the White House today is trying to call the fact that Joe Biden said anything about Transgender Day misinformation.
Disinformation.
Just not true. If we could please, Thomas, play the White House lies soundbite.
A lot of misinformation done on purpose. And as a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American. Now, sadly, and it's not surprising, right? It is actually unsurprising that politicians are seeking to divide and weaken our country with cruel, hateful, and dishonest rhetoric. It is dishonest what we have heard the past 24 hours. It is untrue what we heard over the weekend.
And now, for the receipts, Thomas, if we could please play the still picture, or put it up on the screen. So this is President Biden's tweet yesterday. It says a big giant thing saying Transgender Day of Visibility. Today on Transgender Day of Visibility, I have a simple message to all trans Americans. I see you. You're made in the image of God and you're worthy of respect and dignity. So what she said was just a lie. Right. She said it's sadly politicians are using it. It's like he did it. He tweeted it. No one else has ever done it. They deliberately did this to provoke Christians and everybody else. And then when actually they got a little bit more backlash than they thought they would get, they turn around and they say it didn't happen. You know, your lying eyes. Right. You didn't see that tweet. I don't know. You know, Mike Johnson must have put that out. Yeah. That Lauren Boebert, I think she put it out. But I think, let's see. Oh, she's such a bad liar. And on the third day from Leo, the trans got their penises back. There you go. But, you know, I think initially I was angry about it. I'm like, and then I realized, wait, that's what they want, right? The White House, I think, and the Democrats want people to get angry. They want to be provocative. They want to, they're the ones who want to be divisive, and they're hoping that maybe we'll have another insurrection. I mean, what do you make of it?
No, they're just so PC now. They're blind to the fact that, hey, maybe some Christians would find this a little offensive. I mean, to them it's, huh? What? We're just being PC. We're just being woke. What do you mean you're mad? Oh, they're mad. Okay, then we didn't do it at all. We never, no, we didn't send that tweet out. Oh, well, it's a disinformation tweet.
Yeah. Anything else. It's disinformation to say he's the president, but he did say it, right? And for them to say it's not. Well, maybe you're right. I mean, you think they're just so blind.
Yes.
See, I think they kind of did it on purpose, everybody.
No, they don't want to make everybody mad. Not
it is
8 months
an election
away from an election and stuff. No, they thought, you know, they would kowtow to the trannies who we all love. And that would just, you know, get them all the more, be viewed all the more wonderfully. And, you know, when they came up with this idea of Christian nationalism, I was going, what's Christian nationalism? And, you know,
right.
And now I'm sort of seeing what it would be. I mean, there are churches now, and we go to one that, you know, have decided to stand up for traditional values. They're not going to allow the public schools to cause your kids to become transgender and never know it, to teach them all the LGBTQ sickness and give them books and everything else. No, they're not going to let them do it. And they don't expect their church to passively sit by. Just sit there, oh, well, okay, you know, schools are there. We're a house of worship and therefore we have no values. No, people are more and more going to churches and say, no, we're going to stand up. We're going to stand up for our kids, and we're going to stand up for what we think is right in society, which I guess is Christian nationalism in its own way. But I think nobody wants to go to a church anymore that's blah. You know, I mean, either you put out the transgender flag or you fight it. I mean, I think less and less people want churches that kind of go, oh, you know, we'll just worry about other things.
Well, that's a whole different show too to talk about that. But I think you're right, and they're continuing to shove it down our throats. And I think that
you can no longer ignore it. I mean,
and in its own way, I think that makes it the danger is it makes it less outrageous, which I think is also part of their plan. I think that there is an ongoing plan. I mean, you know, you get rid of genders. You get rid of, you know, you're attracted to who you're attracted to. What you're attracted to. The next step to that is, the whole concept of the age of consent, right?
Oh, yeah.
Even now they have pedophiles where they say they've argued about in the state legislature, right? They wouldn't let Ken DeGraff say groomers against, you know, whatever it was, pedophilia, or gays against groomers, right?
Right.
Saying that somehow suggesting that somebody was a groomer, which is someone who is grooming a child to sexually prey on them, that's being
the name of the group. And so he was citing the name of the group, said, you can't say that. I can't say the name of the group. Said, that's right. You can say something against something, but not groomers. No groomers.
It was hate speech, right? And so I think that's where they're going with that. And I think that's why the president's pushing it. I mean, you know, and of course, all the progressive people, you know, got all a flutter when other people pushed back and said, hey, look, this is Easter. We don't need to be doing that, you know, on this. And again, just the lies, because it has been out there forever. And just, you know, like I said,
but it's so perfect.
Like National Jello Day, no one ever heard of it until the president elevated it and made it a big deal.
Yeah, but they really did demonstrate. No, you can't hide from this. You can't just close your eyes, your ears. You know, they're coming for you, and your children, no matter what you do. And you better stand up, or you're going to get badly walked over.
Well, the Democrats are passing that law. We had Brandi Bradley on talking about that, and Scott Bottoms, right? The Democrats, and it's going to pass. I think it's making its way through. But among other things, it says that a kid in their school can decide what their gender is or how they want to be identified. And the school, number one, has to do that. And the school cannot tell their parents, right? And now they're talking about, we've seen this in other states, or if the parent resists, right? And then the parent can be investigated for child abuse. I mean, it's a god-awful situation that they created there. And this was another thing, but I also think it was just an in your face. It's like, we are
It
in
is in
power and
your
we can
face.
do this and we're going to do this. And you know, I know it gets exhausting sometimes, right? You feel like, oh, please, you know, but I think the way things are going right now, we can't sit back. I think you can't just say, okay, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm not going to look at that. You have to, don't you think, or you have to pay
You
attention.
can't, because they're not going to allow you to close your eyes. You're not going to be able to have an Easter meal quietly. You're not going to have anything. They're just not going to allow it. So you better get there and be active.
That's right. That's C, which is okay. Democrats always make up stupid names. It's time we conservatives use our flippant tactics against them, which is what they call themselves, gays against groomers. And then Charlene, exactly, Julie, we will believe what the state tells us to believe, no matter how absurd. And it's the Uniparty, not just the Democrats. That's absolutely right, Charlene. If it's our own thing too. But a bit of hope, though. This I thought was funny. Another thing, and I see we've got Carl coming into the waiting room here. So you know how, you know that even though here in Colorado and across the country, we have the gold standard of election systems,
Yes.
right? So no worries there. And anything else is an
Ken
insurrection
Buck
talk.
says so you know you can trust Ken
Yeah,
Buck.
exactly. So the progressive groups, there are millions of them with millions of dollars, have for years focused on registering voters, right? Because they get their name, they get their ballot, you know, you got the whole Zuckerbucks thing, right? This big drive to register, particularly young people. Well, interestingly, the Washington Post had an article quoting one of the progressive money groups saying, hey, we need to quit registering young people because they don't like Biden. So we're accidentally registering a whole bunch of Republicans. It's like, what? And James Carville, who's a he's a cranky old guy, it's this is
Is a cranky old
funny soundbite in a lot of ways, but he's like, this is what I've been trying to tell you people. So if we could please play the James Carville soundbite.
You know, I've been very vocal about this. It's horrifying. Our numbers among younger voters, particularly, you know, younger blacks, younger Latinos, or whatever, but whatever, younger, I don't like the younger people of color, particularly males. We're not shedding them. They're leaving in the droves.
And I like the way he says, oh, whatever, whatever they glad that, whatever they come.
Whatever.
You know, though I forget what the word of the day is, right?
Yes.
I forget what the word of the day is. But I think it's just so interesting that he's like, I've been telling you, we're losing young people. And I think it's just interesting that, again, one of their tactics has been to target and register young people. And now this guy, well, there's research. I'm sure they're not just making this up, right? As they spend their money, like, no, we need to quit registering young people because they don't
Get
like
the
us.
old people.
Get those old people. Get more nursing homes. Get
Not
more
necessarily, no, they don't know what they're voting for.
met and dead people. They don't
That's
complain about
yeah, well,
anything.
we've traditionally got a good dead vote, so.
Yeah. So it's just so funny that they quit registering these people to vote because, you know, because it's not going to work for us. So I think that's interesting. And another thing I think, so, and in terms of how is 2024 going to play out, you know, I think it's interesting that what Charlie Kirk's Turning Point Action people are doing too. Have you been reading about that? Where they've been talking a lot about, they've got in Arizona and in a couple of battleground cities, they are training people to ballot harvest.
I have no idea what they're doing.
Well, when you look at it, they're at least trying. They're training, and I think they're being clever about it. When you read it, they're like, we need to do what the Democrats do. And we need to be on the ground now. We need to be, as you've always said, making contact with people. Well, then they are actually.
Well,
They're training. Well, and best of all, they're paying the people. They're paying people to go out and they're paying them per ballot.
But it's also you have to understand they should be going through an education program right now to all Republicans, and they should be sending, saying, we have to be able to get out the vote. We cannot do get out the vote if you just go to the polls on one day. We need to be able to say, okay, we've got 40% in, now we can work on the remaining 60. If all you have is one day to vote, there's no way to get absentee people who are not voting that day to vote.
Well, they are working on that. I mean, I've seen a lot of discussion from people.
Not hard. They got to send the first message out.
They have been, I would say. Not enough, you don't think?
No. It takes a whole new re-education campaign to get Republicans to, I mean, I fought against, the idiots last time saying, oh, no, we'll get the algorithms by all voting the same day. All you're going to get is like you did down in Arizona, them mucking up the same day voting.
Right, exactly.
So
the Charlie Kirk people, though, I guess what I'm saying is hopefully they are, well, I mean, the Democrats are hurting themselves with their policies. I do find it, I've said for a while that I think young people are our best hope, right? Some of these kids that were brought up through COVID and, kind of came of age then, and they see what's going on. And I've said frequently, Rev's friends, these kids are cynical in a good way, right?
Well, that's good. I like cynics.
Well, it is. They're kind of like, they laugh at South Park. They think, they don't get, they think, I know when I talk to Rev and his friends, well, I don't talk to his
friends. We'll get them on air. We'll bring them out here.
Yeah. Oh, no, but I mean, they
think, no, we should.
The whole transgender thing they think is just stupid. Although what's, they're like, basically their attitude is, if you want to say you're transgender, I don't want to hear about it. Right. I mean,
well, they say it's all the girls.
They say it's just the girls anyway. So, and this from Sandra, it's time we who pay property taxes need to jump up and down about what they're doing in schools. Since we pay for these schools, teachers, and even the kids' meal, even in the summer, which is BS. And it is a funny thing. So apparently the Polis's universal preschool isn't going very well, because only five kids can afford to have go to it. But even at Rev school, so during COVID, they had, I'm not sure why, but free lunch, right, for all the kids. Well, they continued that, which is great, I guess, but it's not like it was that much to begin with, and we can afford it. I'm all for free lunch programs for kids whose families are struggling, right? But to just because
struggling families should be able to feed their kids.
That's what I'm saying. So they should be able to have the free lunch program.
No free lunches, Julie.
No free lunches. But to just have universal free lunch, whether kids need it or not, whether kids are bringing their own lunch or not. I mean, the schools just bring in all this money. And that's part of the problem we have, too. And I think I saw, switching gears here a little bit now, Carl. Carl, are you there? Carl Hoops? Is he there? Thomas, do you see?
Unmute.
Okay,
start video.
Okay, I went to you a minute early, sorry.
Oh, no problem. No, I'm ready to go.
All right, well, I'll introduce Carl. Carl is a great Adams County Republican. Adams County Republicans have a lot of contentious people, which I'd include myself in. But luckily, it's got people like Carl who are not contentious and are very much a mellifying person who really, I think, everybody respects.
I'm talking, Carl, just for what it's worth, we think you should be chair of the Adams County Party. Just throwing that out there.
Very kind of you to say, but I would never, ever assume a politically correct role. in traditional terms, so I might consider being chairman, but I'd never be a chair.
Oh, okay. All right. And I said, I've known Carl for over 10 years, and this is the first time I've ever seen him without a tie. It's the first time. He almost always has a coat and tie. And somebody went to prep school for 6 years and always wore a coat and tie. I've always admired wherever I saw him, Carl, except this one broadcast, and he doesn't have a coat and tie on.
That's right. Carl was elected over the weekend as a delegate on the Trump slate from Colorado. So first off, congratulations on that. And I know we wanted to talk about Ukraine and some
other. Let me kind of talk to that briefly now.
Sure.
We've also gotten, Julie and I have gotten chosen to be on the Nikki Haley slate.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So what they did is that, the Trump organization wanted non-contentious people on the slate. They didn't want any people who had podcasts. They didn't want any people who are out in the public. They didn't want Vicky Tompkins until they forced him to take her. They,
yes.
So all the fun people and
no, Carl's
yes,
fun.
Well, Carl's fun, but all the fun people are over on the Trump Nikki Haley side, and we're going to be partying it up, and we've got our own bar, and we're going wild there.
We're
because
Nikki
they kind of Trump controls the Trump people, but he can't control the Nikki Trump people.
I have a feeling we're all going to be controlled.
But no, not me.
Anyway, congratulations on that, and let me first just ask you about that, and then we can talk about some of the other stuff too. I mean, do you know what that means, really, or?
Well, I have been to state conventions, state assemblies many times. I have been a bonus member to the state GOP Central Committee for, I don't know, 3 or 4 terms at least. So I'm used to being in leadership settings and conventions and the likes, but this will be the first time to go to a national convention, and I'm super excited about that. My priorities are number one, to vigorously support President Trump. I truly believe it's either he gets reelected or our nation, you know, just goes down the tubes. We're heading rapidly towards a socialist or a communist dictatorship. So number one, get President Trump reelected. Number two, we have a fantastic party platform, which respected leaders like Justin Everett, former state representative, and David Barton played a large role in putting together the 2016 national platform. So I'll be standing very strongly for that as well.
Well, I haven't gone to the 2016 Republican convention, not as a delegate, but as covering it. Peter Boyles and I reported, you know, 4 hours
for KNUS.
For KNUS. And the difference between, I've been to state conventions and all the ones you mentioned, is that there's a bigger party atmosphere. You have all these lobbyists who want to buy you dinners and drinks. And of course, you have to be accommodating and all these other people. It is just one big party, and it's a lot of fun. Now, admittedly, it's Milwaukee. How much fun can Milwaukee be?
Isn't it paradise? I haven't been there. Awesome.
I grew up in Northern Illinois. We went to the Milwaukee Zoo. The zoo is nice.
Yeah, well, not anymore.
It's been a few years.
I got burnt down. But so it's a really different atmosphere. It's very intense because you have so many people who want to influence that, and it's covered by all the networks and everything else. So
it should be fun, though. That's kind of...
Yeah, it will be fun.
Now, do you guys have many roles to play or duties before the convention, or is it mostly just at the convention?
As far as I know, it's mostly at the convention. But when I filled out that 7 or 8 page application to get on the Trump slate, they asked a lot of very probing questions. Yes. They asked, what is your experience politically, what is your experience with the media? Are you comfortable with the media, et cetera? So I had to put a lot of thought into this. And I tell you, I've been interviewed before on television and radio a few times. So if I have an opportunity to stand up for President Trump and our excellent platform, I would be very proud to do it. And are you guys serious? Are you really delegates or running?
Yes.
Well, let me explain so what people, because it's a little complicated.
I just explained it perfectly.
The way it worked is so the Trump, because he won by the percentage he did, was able to select his own slate. And they selected then, I think, 3 people and 3 alternates from each of the congressional districts, except Jeffco, which is little. Nikki Haley, they were hoping, would release her delegates. So Trump then could take them all. But being a little snooty about things, she so far is refusing to release her delegates. No. Therefore, the state of Colorado, under that whole faithful elector issue, has to send 11 people as Nikki Haley delegates.
And 11 alternatives.
And 11 alternates.
And as a practical matter, they took the list from all the people the Trump people turned down. Because they were too contentious, too much fun, too wild, too handsome, too debonair, in Julie's case, too beautiful. So it's really the same. It's the rebel rousers Trump rebel rousers that the list is drawn up with.
Well,
and it's just, it's a great list of people.
But the thing, to make it clear, again, we don't support Nikki Haley, but the state.
No, but all you have to do is vote once for Nikki if she doesn't release them.
And then, like, and you said, we can vote for
we
that.
We can do whatever we want to do. And we can do any interviews we want to do. And the Trump team.
No, I got a feeling the Trump team will. But
no, the Trump team can't. We're Nikki Haley again.
I am so glad you guys are coming.
I mean, that's the thing. We get to go.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I know what Justin Everett was explaining at the CDA assembly was they've been reached. I mean, Nikki Haley's people won't even return their phone calls. They're saying, can you just release the delegates? I mean, that's just mean spirited, right? I mean, actually, I don't think we really can even vote for her because she's not a candidate, right? So.
After you pledged to.
But I don't know that there could be an actual vote. Do you know what I mean? But at any rate, someone will tell us. But anyway.
No one will tell us anything. We're free. We're free.
But Carl, you had reached out, and I know you're doing some interviews this week as well.
Carl has got a little background in media, but hasn't done a lot of it. Of course, we have done a lot of it and so forth. So Carl was a little afraid that I might come after him on the show.
Why would you think that?
Very nervous.
And
I'm his wife, and I'm the one who knows how to work the machines, you know?
But having heard him saying he wants to prepare for the national media, I think we've got to tussle him up a little bit.
No. you Carl had mentioned that I think you were going to be on Kim Munson's show.
And
Wednesday. So, but you wanted to talk a little bit. You said you had some thoughts on Ukraine and what you think Trump might be doing there. And I have a feeling, just to let people know, we might disagree on this, but why don't you go ahead and
tell us. That's what radio shows are about, Julie.
Tell us your thoughts.
Well, I'll give you just a little brief background. I have a tremendous interest in international relations because I grew up in Ireland and Germany. My mother grew up in Finland. I've traveled to Finland a number of times, and I know the history of Finland and Europe very, very well. The Finns had to deal with the Russians exactly the way the Ukrainians are dealing with them now. They had to take care of them during World War II, the Winter War and the Continuation Wars. And just like, very similar to the Ukrainians, the Finns were outnumbered 10-1. On soldiers, 20-1 on tanks, and just overwhelming odds. But they fought like badgers. They fought like wolverines, much smaller than the big bear from the east. But they made the price so high for the Russians that finally they sued for peace. I mean, they came up to an armistice. Finland lost some territory. It had to pay some money, but they kept their freedom. And they're the only nation which after World War II bordered the Soviet Union and maintained their independence. So for me, underdogs who are defending themselves against bullies are people I really love and admire. And the Ukrainians, all the intelligence experts all around the world said, this is going to be over after the invasion started within a few weeks. They're going to just run over Kiev, take over the capital. Our president was gracious enough to offer Zelensky a ride out to get to safety. And he says, I don't need a ride. I need bullets. Well, when you have somebody with that kind of courage and determination and his whole nation backing him up, I think they deserve our help. And we are giving them a lot of help. And I'm very grateful that we are. I'm happy that we are. But what is the solution? It's been going on for 2 years. It's cost billions and billions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian soldiers and civilians killed and wounded. And right now the war is pretty much of a stalemate. The Russians are making some very incremental, small gains at a time when the Ukrainians are short on ammunition and equipment. Our Congress, particularly the U.S. House, has very wisely said, we want to defend our nation's borders first, the southern border and also the northern border, from the invasion of illegal aliens who are pouring in. And then when we get that taken care of, we're happy to go back to helping our allies like Ukraine, who, by the way, we made an inferred promise in the Minsk agreement that if they got rid of their nukes, we would protect them. We made a promise, and I believe that as the greatest nation on earth, the greatest nation that's ever been in history, a Christian nation, that we need to honor our word. And to some extent, we have been, but there are people who are waiting. Anyway.
You've indicated that our Congress has said, first our border, then Ukraine. We've done nothing about our border. Nothing. Well,
exactly. That's what he's saying. We need to.
Well, I know, but the administration's not going to do it. And so now the question is, even though we haven't addressed our border, should we give, what is it, $60 billion to Ukraine, much of which is siphoned off and corruption and all the way through? I mean, Ukraine is maybe the most corrupt country in the world, in part because of billions we throw into it. And I think the war is a great deal more on the Russian side these days. I mean, they haven't broken through, and Ukraine has stood steady, but they're on the offense, and this summer they'll be on the offense. But what do you say to everybody expected Mike Johnson to say, look, we'll do Ukraine if you'll do the border? And they said, oh, border? Okay. We'll give a Democratic bill, call it bipartisan, which totally gives away everything. And then they couldn't take that. So we're not going to address our border. So what should we do about the Ukraine aid?
I don't know the answer to that question, Chuck. I was very disappointed when the House, Republicans in the House, passed that terrible bill. It, as you said, it did absolutely nothing to stop the invasion from our southern border,
it was a Senate bill, but yeah.
Senate bill, yes, that the House passed. I spoke with Congressman Boebert over the weekend and asked what she thought, and she told my wife, Karen, that there wasn't much of a choice on that bill, and she's not happy with the bill, but she also understands Speaker Johnson's tough position that he was in. I don't know all the details about it, but I do believe that we need to defend America first. But that doesn't mean that we give up on our NATO allies, that we give up on Ukraine, or we give up on Taiwan. And I will say, one of the few things, foreign policy-wise, that I think the Biden administration has done right is to send troops to Taiwan. Many leaders, including Senator, guy from Alabama, from Arkansas, his name is.
That's Arkansas. Okay. No, anyway. I don't know either. We don't know either.
Okay. Tom Cotton, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Senator Cotton has been arguing, a decorated veteran, for years that we need to put some troops in Taiwan. So we have a tripwire, just like we have in South Korea, and just like we have in Europe. They finally did it. They sent some troops, so good for them. As far as winding this war down, here's what I think President Trump might do. I don't have any inside knowledge. I haven't spoken with him or any of his high officials about it, but President Trump is a master psychologist. I don't think any leader that we've ever had has ever been better at understanding human nature. President Trump understands that every person has a need to be liked. Every person has a need to be respected. And you need to be able to establish trust. In other words, your word means something. And so President Trump does this incredibly effectively with our allies and with our enemies. In fact, he was so effective with President Putin and Chairman Moon of North Korea that many in the press criticized him for being so cozy, cozy, buddy, buddy with our enemies. And so he's a traitor because he's so nice to our enemies. But the thing that you have to keep in mind is he also knows how to carry the stick and wield the stick very firmly, not just offer the carrot. And as a result of the strength of his leadership, Un didn't fire one missile, no nuclear testing whatsoever during the 4 years of the Trump administration. Putin didn't invade anybody. Xi wasn't even talking seriously about invading Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
Now what do we have? We have the Iranian mullahs
doing
whatever the heck they want to go after our allies like Israel and support the Houthis and all these other terrorists, Hamas, et cetera, et cetera. Putin, of course, did invade Ukraine, a war which could have been so easily
avoided.
Deferred.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, when President Biden says, well, I guess he has to do something. When Putin loaded up hundreds of thousands of troops all around Ukraine, instead of saying, don't you step one foot in the independent sovereign nation of Ukraine. Instead of saying that, he says, well, I guess he has to do something. So that was an invitation. It's
right.
Just like, I think it was Dulles before the Korean War said, oh, well, we're not, you know, we don't care about Korea. That's just not an important theater for us. And of course, the North Korean communists took it as a green light.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for your Trumpian solution to the Ukraine crisis.
So what I think he might do is say, we have two parties who are not in any way, shape, or form ready to call it quits. Putin is determined to rebuild the Russian Empire or the Soviet Union. And he doesn't care how many hundreds of thousands or even millions of Russians have to pay with their lives. And Zelensky doesn't want to give up 1 acre of Ukrainian land. And he wants to get back Crimea, which is legally and internationally recognized to be Ukrainian territory. He has the support of about 50 nations around the world. He's one of the best salesmen I've ever seen. He goes around to all these different parliaments and speaking to all these heads of state. Every time he does, he gets more aid. So he's doing a magnificent job. And he doesn't want to give up. He wants to succeed. So that's the big problem President Trump
has. And the solution?
Yeah, because we only have about a minute.
Yeah, the solution is?
We'll make it really quick. I believe he could say to President Putin, if you think you have sanctions now, wait until you see what I can do to really hard shut down your economy. And if you don't stop attacking Ukraine, we're going to get a lot more involved. Not necessarily putting troops on the ground, but we certainly have tremendous air assets and missiles and just.
So is Putin going to give up the Crimea and the Donbass?
Sorry?
Is Putin going to give up the Donbass and
the territories he's already taken?
Well, I think probably to bring about an armistice, most likely President Trump will suggest, let's just freeze the lines where they are now. Just keep things the way they are. But the other part of the equation is dealing with President Zelensky. And I think he could make the case to him. We have supported you in a big way up to this point. But we need this to end. We have a huge budget deficit we need to deal with. We need to rebuild our own military. And so we need you to compromise and we need to settle this war. And if you don't do it, we'll start pulling back even more.
Hey, Carl, I hate to interrupt you there, but we
need it to end.
Okay.
Okay. So your solution is that Trump uses his amazing skills to get them to freeze as they presently are, for both the Russians and the Ukrainians to say that wherever the Russians are now, they stay. But
actually, it's probably somewhat likely, too.
No, it's fairly unlikely, unfortunately, because he's not going to stop. He's going to, Putin's going to require the rest of the Donbass. He's probably going to require Odessa.
And now I have to tell you we have to go. Sorry.
Well, I don't want to go. I'm talking to Carl. Better leave us alone, Julie. Carl and I are having a good time. We're debating
sure we
this
are.
Is great stuff. This is
well,
great
I know,
stuff.
But we do. We have our show.
All right, well, I'm going to have to listen to you on Kim Munster's show because you've been great, Carl. You've been great.
I know. I mean, people disagree with you. I think we probably disagree with you also. But that's okay. You've done a great job. I appreciate your time. I think you're going to be, we're going to have a bunch of fun at the convention too. I think that's for sure.
Chuck and Julie, it's been a real pleasure and an honor. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you for coming
on. All right,
on.
Thank you too, Carl. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us today. On Wednesday, we're going to have Ken Raposa on and maybe Lori Saint. She's got Weld County stuff. Her battles never end up there. So we just talked
to her. And we're supposed to have
Robert Spencer on today, but he'll be on Monday.
He got sick, and so he'll be back on next Monday.
Yep, he'll be back on Monday. So that'll do it for us today. Thank you, everybody. We will see you on Wednesday.
Bye-bye.